Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Back at it again. It's a week 14 holiday. That's right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, December 12th, 2010. And you know how we do it. Oh, I said week 14. That could only mean one thing. Fantasy football playoffs are upon us. And maybe it's this week, maybe it's next week. But the time is here. The time is now. And this is what we've done this for the past 13 weeks to get to this point, to get to the playoffs, to get that ring, to make room on the mantle for that trophy that we're going to win, take home at the end of the season. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, I'm going to welcome in the stars of the show in a minute. But first, I want to say go to NFLDraftBible.com because the NFL Draft Talk is heating up. We're on fire over there. Secondly, let's welcome in Ralph Mancini, the good reverend, first because he was at the Heisman Trophy last night. So let's take a second or two to just talk about the atmosphere over in New York City Times Square and the announcement of Cam Newton winning the Heisman Trophy, Ralph.
Well, you know, everybody kind of expected Cam Newton to come out the winner there. There were really no surprises. But, you know, it was a great experience for me just to go out there and to sit down with these players and get to know them a little bit better. I was really impressed by Kellen Moore, the quarterback from Boise State. The kid, I mean, he is mature beyond his years. When you listen to him talk, I mean, he answered every question. And he sounds like a coach, and I think down the road, if he wants to be, he could be a tremendous coach. Or if he wants to go into the NFL, I could perhaps maybe see him having a career similar to that of Jason Garrett. But altogether, you had some very polished, very smart guys there, especially with Andrew Luck and Kellen Moore.
Yeah, and the next stop for Cam Newton, probably in the NFL, Ross, we're going to have all eyes on Cam Newton. We're going to welcome in Ross Radamus, Ross Mandel. We're going to have Cam Newton possibly in the top five, possibly the top pick overall, all eyes on him come the bowl game in Oregon. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know if he's worthy of that high of a selection, but we'll see, and I'm sure the dreaded combine numbers will verify or dismiss those thoughts. But I don't know, man. I thought too many people left him off their ballots altogether. I don't see how you can do that. The NCAA made a ruling. It's not people's jobs to play God with their votes. You know what? You got to vote him in. And if something goes wrong, eventually you take it away from him. But right now, there's no evidence to dismiss him. So I'm glad he won, but those 100-and-some-odd people should be ashamed of themselves as far as I'm concerned.
All right, there you have it. Ross Adamus said so. And if you don't know, we go around the league of mystery and intrigue right here on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Of course, we'll have fantasy stud duds and sweepers from each and every game over the course of the weekend. And, of course, we're answering all your questions in the chat room, so shout-out to the early morning risers, PC Keen, Snake Eyes, Aces Up, Walkie33. Always good to see the usual suspects over in the chat room. I'm sure that'll start heating up soon. And I know you guys have some guys to watch for, you know, maybe some sweepers down the stretch for the second, you know, for the playoff run and a little bit of strategy approaching the playoffs, and we're going to go over that. I want to give the rest of America some time to wake up before we do that. So why don't we get a game in here and get that out of the way, because it's the Who Cares game of the week when the Cleveland Browns, 5-7, travel into Buffalo to take on the Bills, who are 2-10. And, Ross, you know, we're going to see what happens at the quarterback situation in Cleveland this week. Do you have an update for us?
Well, it looks like Colt McCoy is banged up, but I'm not sure what's going on with Jake Delhomme, Rick. Have you heard anything this morning? Because I have not seen anything this morning.
You know, I'm going to look around for an update, see if we can find that. But I do not know the latest on Jake Delhomme.
Yeah, so if you're relying on one of the Browns quarterbacks, the chances are you're playing in a two-quarterback league. But I'll scramble around this morning, and I'll find some information for you, and I'll give it to you when I do hear it. But you know, everybody cares when the Browns and Bills get together, Rick. Come on now. Look, the Dolphins last week may have put the clamps on Peyton Hillis as much as that can be done. But Buffalo doesn't exactly have Miami's run-stopping front. You know, Miami's a top-10 run D. Buffalo is dead last in the league, allowing a staggering and mind-boggling 170.9 yards per game. I think, to say the least, you could expect a major rebound from Mr. Hillis in this game. I also like the tight end, Ben Watson, for Cleveland here. Look, Jake Delhomme, if he plays, he is the check-down master. He's going to be targeting Watson nonstop. You know, I lost track of the amount of times he looked to Watson last week. I think that'll continue against the Buffalo team that has given up 8 touchdowns to opposing tight ends. That's the most in the league. I like Steve Johnson and Freddie Jackson, but only as number twos this week as far as Buffalo is concerned. The dud here to me is Buffalo quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Cleveland's D is playing better. Fitzpatrick isn't going to have one of those shootout games from which to fire this week. It seems his major fantasy points come when his team is playing catch-up in a shootout. That will not be the case this week, as I see this as a close game throughout. The sleeper here, we've all seen Cleveland coming on of late, but I'm going to roll the dice here as far as defenses go. How about the Buffalo Bills as a defense today, huh? 8 turnovers, 2 touchdowns last 3 weeks. They're going against Jake Delhomme most likely. He's been sacked 2 times each of the past 2 games. The Bills are at home. They're playing against a turnover-prone Cleveland Browns team, and I actually think the Bills somehow managed to win this game 17-13.
All right, there you have it. Buffalo at home, I don't doubt it. They are playing better football. And I did actually look up while you were talking, Ross, it is going to be Delhomme is going to get his 3rd straight start. My question becomes this, and this might be the burning question in Cleveland, because I was surprised to see him come back. They put together a little 4-game winning streak at the end of the season last year. Eric Mangini was welcomed back. The Browns are now 5-7. They won 2 in a row. They have Buffalo this week. Cincinnati next week, 2 winnable games. I got to ask, you know, is Eric Mangini going to be the head coach of the Browns in 2011, Ross?
Yeah, I think he actually is. I think barring a collapse, I've done a bit of a 180 here. I think they've played hard. They look good. And, you know, what they need is that missing piece, as a lot of teams need, is a quarterback. And I don't think Mike Holmgren is too psyched about what he has on the roster right now. I think he knows the writing's on the wall as far as Colt McCoy is concerned. But I also think that he's a fan of continuity. I mean, I think you can't just be flip-flopping coaches. This team's playing hard for Mangini. The defense is coming around. So barring a collapse, yeah, I actually see him coming back.
Well, you make some good points. Let me toss it over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, because, Ralph, I got to say, you know, watching Mangini on the Browns and watching Mangini on the Jets, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, it just seems to me he really hasn't learned a whole lot from his first head coaching stint in terms of loosening up and just being a good overall quality football coach. Do you agree or disagree?
I think he has loosened up a little bit. I mean, he's never going to be Rex Ryan out there, and not too many coaches are, but I think he has loosened up a little bit. I think he has learned a little bit. You know, in terms of X's and O's, he's a quality coach. But the guy that has impressed me is Rob Ryan, the defensive coordinator. I like what they've been able to do there with that defense in terms of schemes. They do a lot of different things, and they line up in a lot of different ways. And lately, it's shown. I mean, you know, the fact that they are, you know, being very original in the way they're playing defense. So I think that's really the positive that you get out of this team is, you know, number one, they are running the ball well and they are playing some defense. Now if they can get some consistent quarterback play and, you know, maybe get their wideouts to make a few more plays downfield, maybe, you know, they could actually have a playoff team one of these years. But, I mean, yeah, I agree with Ross. I think Mangini is probably going to stick around. And he's doing a decent job, but, you know, not a great job. But he's doing a decent job. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to say, let's get rid of him. But who are you going to bring in? And if you do bring in somebody different, you're going to have to change things around. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if Holmgren wants to go through that right now.
Yeah, you mentioned Rob Ryan all of a sudden being bandied about as a possible head coaching candidate himself. And I don't know if the NFL is big enough to have 2 Ryans as head coaches in this league, but that would be something else, I'll tell you. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Time to go over to the phone lines. And first up, 717, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Good morning, fellas. This is Walkie calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. How are you this morning?
Hey, Walkie. Good to hear from you. Chat room regular. Good to have you call in. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm trying to keep my head afloat here, man. It's a new season here. Obviously, it's the fantasy playoff starting, so I just had a couple quick questions to see if you guys, guys could answer for me and give me some strong advice.
Yeah, we'll do our best. You know, we do.
Cool. My first league here, actually, I'm in a 25-75 PPR league. I start two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex, of course. My running backs now are Charles and Bradshaw, who I'm rolling with. Also, my receivers are Calvin, and I played Pierre Garçon on Thursday. Thank God he came through for me. And actually, I need to decide between these choices. I have, obviously, speaking of choice, I have Tashard choice. I have Jonathan Stewart, Anthony Dixon, and James Starks. I just need one of those four.
Okay, well, you just said the magic word, because James Starks is the word of the week in my vocabulary. Look, let me tell you something, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back, because it was the good reverend here, my friend, who was tooting his horn last week, and Ross had his hesitations. You know, look, the kid got 18 carries last week. I think he's good for 20 carries this week. I think James Starks is good for 20 carries, 80 yards, and maybe a touchdown. I'm not so sure those other guys get that many touches. I love what you've got with the running backs and wide receivers already. So my pick would be James Starks, and I'm going to pass it over to the Ralph so he can compliment me.
Yeah, I could definitely see Starks having a big game here. I mean, you got to love the matchup. And you have to think that Green Bay is probably going to jump out to a big lead. And, you know, I could see the Packers definitely running the ball, bleeding the clock in the third and fourth quarters of this game, and Starks getting a lot of action. I do actually like Choice as well in what should be a high-scoring game. You know he's going to get the goal line carries over there. But, yeah, I can't disagree with Rick. I think Starks is a guy who is going to do some things this week. I think he's going to make you happy.
Ross, did we make you a believer?
My only question there, Rick, is actually with Starks is, and I followed this kid in college, watching him at Buffalo, and he's a good runner. He is more of an upright runner, but he don't really catch a lot of balls, and McCarthy did insist he is still going to use Kuhn and Jackson. So it's going to be kind of like a three-headed monster. Now, granted, they could get out to a lead, and, you know, obviously they will run Starks at that point, you know, to pad the lead. But the way, I see this, actually, I mean, Choice, I really, really feel strongly about him. I mean, granted, I'm a Cowboy fan.
Well,
I agree
with you on Choice.
House. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I agree with you on Choice. You see, the way I look at it is, you could start Starks if you need a guy with a lot of upside. You know, in one of my leagues, my opponent had Chris Johnson, and he jumped out to this big 30-point lead. So I need to put a guy in with a lot of upside. I have to go with the gusto here. And I think Starks give you a little bit more upside than Choice. But I think Choice is the safer pick, because I do think he's going to score. He is going to get the goal line touches. You know that for a fact. And I think they're going to score points in that game. Starks, to me, is more of the upside guy. So if you feel like you need to take a chance, then you go with Starks if you need, you know, that upside guy, that guy that can hit the home run. But if you need the safer choice, then you go with the short choice, pardon the pun.
Well, listen, Walkie, you make a lot of good points. And I'm buying 100% what you say about Kuhn and Brandon Jackson. And there is some concern there that they might get the goal line carries. And, you know, you're right, the Packers do wing it around, throw the ball a lot. So, you know, maybe Starks' goal line carries are 50-50, but I would say Tashard Choice's whole carries overall is 50-50, because you don't know if it's going to be him or Felix Jones from one week to another. But let's bring in an objective opinion and ask the Ross Adonis.
Yeah,
right.
Would go with Choice this week. I just think he did enough last week to warrant himself a lot more carries. Not that Starks played poorly, but he had a lot of carries for a guy who hasn't done anything all season. And no, the Packers have been pretty upfront with saying that they're going to split this down, and there are going to be three backs involved there. And Felix Jones, for me in Dallas, just doesn't merit as many carries to me as the guys in Green Bay are going to take away from Starks ratio-wise. You know, Green Bay isn't going to run it as much, I don't think. I don't imagine. But to me, Choice is a solid play. This is a kid that's been dying to play, as has Starks. But for me, Dallas is going to run the ball more than Green Bay. And I think Choice is going to have a lot more opportunity to score than James Starks is this week.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the help there. And actually, one more quick question for you guys. Sorry to take up so much of your time here, but it's critical this week. So, my local league here, actually, I start two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. It's also a 25-75 PPR league. I got the three-headed monster rolling with Peyton Hillis, LeSean McCoy, and Ray Rice, along with, of course, Vic at quarterback. I'm pretty stacked on this team. And then my receivers are Calvin, who I'm rolling out with. And my other receivers are Brandon Marshall, Akeem Nix, and Sidney Rice. Now, I need one out of those three players. I'm going to rule out Marshall because, really, he's been kind of a letdown, but he's still battling the hamstring injury. I know that Nix is dinged up, and, of course, Sidney Rice came back strong last week. What's your take on those guys? I mean, tomorrow night's game has been – well, the Giants-Minnesota game was initially slated for today, but due to the bad weather, I guess they postponed it till tomorrow night, so –
Right.
You like Nick there.
That's a tough dilemma because, you know, you got Brandon Marshall, who, like you said, hasn't been performing. He has one touchdown on the season. Akeem Nix coming off in an injury. But Sidney Rice, you know, I'm a big believer in the red hot, but I'll toss it over to Ross for his takes.
Yeah, I don't think you have a dilemma at all. I think you have to start Sidney Rice. Brandon Marshall hasn't done anything, plus he's banged up, plus he's going against the Jets. Nix is playing Monday night. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I think he's going to be limited at best. And Sidney Rice, I mean, has a guy ever shown you that he's healthy more than Rice did with that amazing end zone catch last week? I think you go with Rice beyond question here.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking actually in this situation, too. I mean, I love Nix. He's been a monster for me. And I've kind of held on to Sidney Rice. A lot of owners have gotten rid of him, fantasy owners, because they weren't patient enough with him, but he did look strong last week, and I do have a little bit concerned with Favre, you know, because he looks like he's getting beat down. He seems to have developed a little better chemistry with Jackson, although I'm not a big Jackson fan. But I think this week, I mean, just to play it safe, I think Rice is going to be the choice. I think he will be heavily targeted, especially with Harbin expected to miss another game due to the migraines.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. He's getting the ball.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I
think
your patience is going to be rewarded with Sidney Rice. I like the kids.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, again, I appreciate your help. You guys did a hell of a job this year, and you know, I've listened to most of your shows, and you've offered some great advice. So keep up the good work.
Hey, Walkie, we appreciate it. We know you're here each and every week, and stop talking like the season's over. We still got three more weeks, baby. Let's get a championship over here. And you know what, I'm going to be the first to admit I was one of those guys that was down on Sidney Rice and not a believer. And you know what, those of you who did stash Sidney Rice on your bench all season waiting for the big bonanza, you know, he's going to pay huge dividends down the stretch of your fantasy football playoff run. And we're going to talk about some more of those players in a little bit coming up. But Sidney Rice, definitely one of those guys. And, you know, I think James Starks is one of those guys, too. But we'll see here in week 14, 609 on the line. What's on your mind, Jersey?
Yo, my brothers for three mothers, man. Yo, I'm in the playoffs again. I got beaten up in my PPR league by the guy I'm playing again this week. We're 1-1. He was loaded. He went off. He's got that loaded team. But my question is, and you may have answered it for me, I, too, have Sidney Rice. I'm going with Bolden, also PPR league. But I have Mike Williams of Tampa Bay, who may be going up against Hall, kind of a shutdown cornerback. I know Washington's up and down, but Washington plays better at home. Weather could be bad. I know it's kind of crazy here in Jersey, too, with the rain. Again, do I take a chance on Sidney Rice, who I didn't play last week, or do I go with Mike Williams of Tampa Bay, PPR league? That's my first question.
All right, let's take that one. And, Ralph, let's toss it over to you because Mike Williams is like the Rodney Dangerfield of the NFL or fantasy football. He just gets no respect.
You know, Jersey, you mentioned D'Angelo Hall and how he's a shutdown corner. To me, he's one of the most overrated defenders out there in the NFL. I'm not scared of D'Angelo Hall at all. He's been giving up yards each and every week. So I wouldn't hesitate to use Mike Williams versus D'Angelo Hall. Now, versus Sidney Rice, I think both players are going to have good weeks. I think they're both good starts this week. I would just go with Mike Williams because he's the more consistent guy week in and week out, and I like his quarterback situation a little bit better as well. I'm going to go with Mike Williams.
Wow. Okay. Ross, Sidney Rice or Mike Williams?
Yeah, to me it's close, but, you know, I think they're each going to end up with like 80 to 90 yards and a touchdown. But I don't like what I've seen out of the Washington Redskins defense at all. So I'm going to agree with the good reverend here. And by a slender margin, I'm going to go with Mike Williams. You know, Sidney Rice, I think, again, it's like a situation that the reverend described in the first caller. I think if you need to roll with upside and someone who could go for like 145 and two touchdowns, that ain't Mike Williams. That's Sidney Rice. Williams is going to give you 70 to 90 in a touchdown. You know what you're going to get out of him. I think that's the safe play. I think Rice has the potential to go off.
Well, listen, I listened to everything everybody said. It all makes a lot of sense. I think, Jersey, what it comes down to is Mike Williams. You could pencil him in right now for five catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. Sidney Rice, right, on the other hand, you know, he's capable of scoring a couple touchdowns. And I will echo the Reverend's point about D'Angelo Hall. Yes, the guy gets a lot of interceptions. I think it's more because he jumps the gun so much rather than being such a lockdown corner. So, again, I'm not concerned about D'Angelo Hall. If anything, because he jumps the gun, it makes Mike Williams prone to longer touchdowns. But it looks like Mike Williams is the conservative play. Sidney Rice is the gamble upside type play.
Yeah, it looks like the last five games it's been, he scored a touchdown, didn't get one, scored one, didn't get one, scored last week. Which, if that trend goes, means he wouldn't get one this week. Like I said, this guy's loaded with his team. He just got 19 from Reggie Wayne. He's got Peyton Hillis. He's got Arian, he's got Peterson. He's got McCoy. He's got Macklin. He's got Watson. So, again, he's the guy that beat me last week. He's loaded, as I am with some of my guys, too. So, I am looking for upside. So I'll try to figure it out with that. My last question, in my standard league, do I go with Flacco or do I go with Rivers? Rivers is killing me the last 2 weeks. In my standard league, what do you recommend there? They're close, but who may give me three touchdowns and 300 yards or whatever? What do you think?
Well, San Diego's at home against Kansas City. Baltimore is on the road against Houston, which, you know, could be the makings of a shootout. And, Ross, I know you're previewing that game later on in the show, so let's start it off with you.
Wow. Yeah, this is a very close question. I see both guys hitting the 300-yard mark. I think any one of us four, you know, could achieve 300 yards against the Houston secondary. But it's really hard for me to go against Phillip Rivers at home in this situation. Look, I know Kansas City's corners, especially Flowers, are rather intimidating, but Rivers finds a way to get the job done, and Joe Flacco kind of finds a way not to get the job done, especially if the games are close, although I do see him having a decent game this week. I have much more confidence in Phillip Rivers at home.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, at this stage of the game, I know Rivers hasn't done too much the last 2 weeks, but that means maybe he's due, but I think you got to ride the guys who got you here, Ralph.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that, Rivers gets Vincent Jackson back. So I'm going to go with Rivers here. I think the upside is greater with Rivers. You know, Jersey, you mentioned you want to go with upside because your opponent is stacked with a lot of talent. So if that is the philosophy, then you go with Rivers here.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much. Hopefully both teams make the week 15. We talk again next week. I thank you as usual. Be safe and have a nice Sunday. Best of luck to you guys in your playoff weeks, too. Thank you very much,
brother. Hey, thanks for the call, Jersey. There's no hoping on this show. There's only doing, my brother. And we're going to bring home the belt, baby. I'm coming off the top rope like Jimmy Superfly Snuka, double elbow style. No holds barred, baby. I can't contain myself. But I did like the Jersey using the Brett Saberhagen logic on us. You know, odd year not so good, even year this good. Odd year not so good. Hey, it's an even year. All right, never mind. The younger audience might not have Brett Saberhagen joke. It wasn't that funny, but you can always Google his stats and look odd year, even year. All right, I'm going to come right over to the chat room, guys, I promise. The phone lines are lighting up, though, and we got another regular on the line. That's 313 in the house. What's on your mind?
Happy holidays, fellas. How's everybody?
Very good, man.
Everything
how you doing?
Everything is lovely. Good. It's a week 14 holiday in the NFL. The fantasy football playoffs are here, and we're just getting started. What more can you ask for?
That's right. The fact that I'm calling in, I'm still displaying my dominance in my league. But right now it's a one and done format, so things have to be scrutinized with a fine tooth comb, fellas. And so let's get right to it. I'm loving James Starks. I want you to give me all of your insight on how you feel about these three guys. I have with Pierre Thomas just coming back. I still have Chris Thomas and Pierre Thomas and Chris Ivory. I have both of those guys, but I also have Tayshard Choice and James Starks just for my flex spot. And I'm telling you, I'm leaning towards James Starks. I'm leaning towards him. So what do you guys really think about those four?
Okay, so is this all on the same team and you need two guys, or is this two different teams, two different dilemmas?
No, this is all on the same team. I need one guy just for my flex spot, and it's a three reception.
Oh.
So you get 1 point for every three receptions.
Okay, so you got Pierre Thomas, Chris Ivory, James Starks, and Tayshard Choice, and you need one of these guys. Kind of similar to, and to me, I think it comes with these guys too. I think it comes down to Starks and Choice, and this is the same exact debate we just had. These two guys are riding with Tayshard Choice. The logic being, he's going to get the goal line carries for sure. I myself, James Starks is one of the words of the week, and I'm going to give you my other deep sleeper in a moment. But James Starks is the word of the week for me. I think the kid is going to get 100 yards this week. I think he's good for a touchdown. I think at a minimum, he's going to get 20 carries, 80 yards. However, there's a little bit of discouragement because John Kuhn and the other guy, Jackson, could be in line for some goal line carries. Me, myself, I'm not so worried about that. Walkie 33, who called earlier, sounded like he was leaning towards Choice over Starks, as was these guys. I will tell you this about James Starks. The kid was a first or second round pick before he got injured his senior year at Buffalo, 6 feet, 225, you know, in that 4-5-0 range. I will admit he does run a little bit high, but I just love what he brings to the table.
I agree. Concerned with the goal line touches because I think he's going to break one against the 25th ranked defense, maybe a 15, 20-yard scamper. So I'm leaning towards James Starks. I haven't made the decision yet, so I'm interested to see what everybody else says, if they can give me a little bit of detail as to why they're going with Choice.
Yeah, definitely. And I think James Starks has the upside. I think Choice is limited, but let's go around the table real quickly. And, Ross, just explain yourself, sir.
Well, I do like Choice between he and Starks, but I hate to throw a monkey wrench in here. I would go with Chris Ivory. I mean,
wow.
I got to tell you, I'm not believing that Pierre Thomas is going to get that many touches, and I think the Saints are going to put up an awful lot of points today. To me, it comes down to who's going to get the chances here, and to me, I think it's going to be Chris Ivory. I mean, I think he looked outstanding last week. And I just, you know, Peyton has come out and said he doesn't want to lighten his workload. And for me, there's going to be an awfully big workload today against the Rams. So, Choice I like over Starks, but I don't like him over Ivory. I think Ivory has a big day today. I'm not scared by Pierre Thomas.
Well, let's talk about a monkey wrench. You just did it, Ross. All right, let's talk it over to Ralph.
Well, I can't disagree with Ross here. I also like Chris Ivory a lot. I mean, this guy is a beast at the goal line. And he's got the speed to make a 50 or 60-yard run, as you saw last week. And as Ross said, I don't think the coach wants to change things dramatically. I know that Pierre Thomas is back, but I think they want to use Pierre Thomas maybe as more of a screen back. He's very good at catching those screen passes. So I don't see a lot of carries on the horizon for Pierre Thomas. I think they're going to stick with what's working right now. And another thing you have to factor in, the Saints, I think, are just going to roll over the Rams today. I think they're going to jump out to the big lead.
I don't think so.
I think so, and I'm not even nervous about it. To me, this is one of the locks of the week. I think the Saints are at home. I think that they're going to roll all over the Rams this week, and I think Chris Ivory is going to do a lot of damage in the running game.
I think the Rams are going to play them tough. You're talking about a franchise that can smell the playoffs. And you know what? I will say this about Chris Ivory. Yes, Pierre Thomas is in the doghouse. And yes, maybe Chris Ivory is going to get the lion's share of the carries. But I will tell you this. At some point in time, whether it's this week, next week, or by the end of the season, Sean Payton is going to realize if he wants to return to the Super Bowl, make another run, it's going to be Pierre Thomas that gets in there. You know, you can tout to Chris Ivory's horn all you want. The bottom line is he's not as good as Pierre Thomas.
Wow. One more question, then I'm going to get off your line, fellas, and let you continue. Okay, I was expecting to play this Sunday. He's not playing, and so I had to go unconventional. And right now at this point, I have Roy Williams in my WR3 spot, but I also have Jabbar Gaffney, and I have access to James Jones. What do you guys think? Leave Roy Williams there or maybe explore those other two options?
Well,
I'd
stick with Roy Williams as well. And I know, Russ, you kind of like James Jones. Do you like him more than Roy Williams?
No, I don't. Not today. Not with Samuel not playing. It's close, but I think I'd probably go with Williams.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you what. Here's my other sleeper, deep sleeper of the week. And if you're feeling really ballsy and you really feel good about yourself and your coffee's tasting extra strong this morning, I'm going to give you a name here that I just, you know, a little birdie says Eric Decker in Denver.
Ah.
Okay, might be a power play this week with the new head coach really likes this kid. Eric Decker might get the start, and I can see him getting maybe 6 or 7 catches. He actually had one game early in the season where he went for over 100 yards. I know he was banged up a little bit, but I think Eric Decker, you know, I'm not saying to start him over Roy Williams, but because you brought up Jabbar Gaffney and the whole Denver situation, if you're looking for an alternative to Roy Williams, you know, do a little research on Eric Decker, and you might just like what you see.
And I appreciate all your help. Happy holidays to you fellas. I hope you all win by 20 so it won't be any stress going into the evening and tomorrow games. Unless you're playing each other, then I want it to be close just to make it fun. And enjoy your football Sunday, fellas.
You too. Enjoy the week 14 holiday. 313, always good to hear from you. And time is flying by on the show. We're just getting started. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. I apologize to all my chat room peeps. I don't mean to be ignoring you. We're going to get a game in here real quick, and I'm going to get down all your questions. Then we're going to come back and ask these fellas what's on your mind. But first, Ralph, I think you're up with the Falcons at the Panthers. You know, Jimmy Clausen playing some good football. If the Panthers could ever keep him upright, 18 sacks in the last 6 games. Carolina trying to find out if Jimmy Clausen is the answer or maybe they're feeling a little bit of luck when it comes to the NFL draft next year.
Well, yes. In this game, I like the Falcons' defense. Look, there's no offense out there that is more defense-friendly than the Panthers. Poor Jimmy Clausen has been thrown to the wolves this year, and it's clear that this kid isn't ready for the big stage. But there's no one else on the roster that the Cats can roll with right now. Carolina has allowed 11 sacks over the past 4 weeks, which will be music to John Abraham's ears. In addition, Atlanta's secondary has been making plays lately, particularly Brent Grimes. Excuse me. The other guy that I like in this game is Tony Gonzalez. You know, despite suffering an ankle sprain last week, you know, prior to the Bucs game, he was averaging over 5 receptions per game, and consistency like that is hard to find at the tight end position. Plus, Carolina allows the 4th most fantasy points to tight ends. The dud here is a guy that we all like, I like in particular, and that's Mike Goodson. This kid is for real, in my opinion, but Jonathan Stewart is back, and he has reclaimed the lead role in the backfield, and Goodson is also dealing with a shoulder injury. His Tyro Cub just got this week. The sleeper here is Jonathan Stewart. He is the lead guy at this point. The sleeper, I should say, is Jonathan Stewart. He is the lead guy at this point. He's a decent flex play this week, even though he is going against a stingy Falcons run defense. He's a sleeper because he's going to see 20-plus touches in this game, and it's all about volume here. I do like Atlanta in this game, 27-13.
All right. The Falcons should win rather easily on the road for once. Let's get over to some of the chat questions, fellas, because the chat room's been heating up, and D. Dodge needs a little bit of advice, so let's get to him first. First question up, flex position, Ivory or Austin Miles for your flex spot, Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Ivory. The guy's just been red hot. You know, what does he have, 5 over the last 3 weeks, touchdown-wise, and as I said, I'm just not scared off by Pierre Thomas's name being bandied about. I think Ivory's been playing too well to sit or to limit, and I see the Saints scoring a lot of points. I don't see John Kitna getting a lot done against that Eagles blitz today, even though Asante Samuel not going to play, I don't think. I still will go with Chris Ivory.
Okay. Second part of his question wants to know, Ralph, Malcolm Floyd or Tashard Choice in a non-PPR league?
Yeah, I like both players this week. I think Floyd has the bigger upside, but I think Choice is a safer play. I'm going to go with Choice here.
Okay. What about team defense? We've got Denver going up against Arizona, but Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Tampa Bay also available. Cleveland going up against Buffalo, Philly going up against Dallas, and Tampa Bay going up against Washington. Ross, do you like any of those defenses better than the Broncos, who are against Arizona?
Well, wow. It's really hard for these words to come out of my mouth, but I like the Denver defense this week, and I think that I would actually play them over all of those teams, if you can believe that.
Ralph, are you on board with that?
I like Denver, but I like Cleveland a little bit more. I like the way they've been playing. I think it's a better defense all around. And I don't think there are going to be a lot of points scored in that game against Buffalo. I think Cleveland finds a way to make some plays. They've been getting interceptions lately, and I think they're going to continue making plays this week.
That's a pro John Skelton call right there, Rick.
All right, guys. Can't make the club in the tub. A good friend of the show wants to know, needs three guys. He's got Andre Johnson, Mario Manningham, Dwayne Bowe, and Deshaun Jackson. Ross, me and him were kind of chatting on the IM here, and my take was I wouldn't gamble with Super Mario this week just because Nix and Smith are expected to play, which would make Mario the number three. I just think Andre Johnson, Dwayne Bowe, even with Brody Croyle throwing him the ball, and Deshaun Jackson are the way to go. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time trusting Bowe, although he does seem to get his no matter what. But I know, first of all, you have to have Andre Johnson in there. If the guy can walk, he's a top three guy. But I know Vic hasn't really been looking at Deshaun Jackson. The coaching staff's down on him. He's kind of a goofball, as we all know. But, man, I find it hard not to play him this week on that surface against that team. I like a big week from Deshaun Jackson this week.
Okay, there you have it. Ralph, PC Keen in the house. Shout out to our boy. Jay Cutler, he's a little concerned. It's going to start snowing at 7 a.m., which is about right about now. Wants to know, should he be concerned about starting Jay Cutler this week? Right now, available on the waiver wire, he can pick up Alex Smith or Drew Stanton. As crazy as it sounds, is this something he should look into?
Well, I wouldn't trust Jay Cutler. I mean, I wouldn't normally trust him even in ideal weather conditions against a good defense. But, I mean, in conditions where, you know, you're talking about potentially having a 50-mile-per-hour wind gust and snow and the cold that he's going to have to deal with, I don't know. I can't trust Jay Cutler. I'm not against the Bill Belichick defense. I could see him turning the ball over this week. No, not during a playoff week. It's a wrong matchup for Jay Cutler, I think. I wouldn't go with him.
So are you saying Alex Smith or Drew Stanton?
Oh, boy. I would definitely say not Alex Smith. He's one of my least favorite quarterbacks. You know something? I kind of like Drew Stanton. I like what he did last week. You know, you kind of think that in that Detroit offense, they could just plug about just about anybody in there, and as long as they throw the ball to Pettigrew and to Calvin Johnson, they'll be okay. You know, Stanton's not a bad quarterback. He's nothing great, but, you know, I think that he's going to throw the ball a lot this week versus the Packers. He's not going to have any choice, and they really don't have much of a running game there, and he does have weapons on the outside and over at tight end. So, you know, I mean, if you're really in a rut here, I think that Stanton gives you more potential because I can't see Chicago putting up a lot of points, and I think really they're going to want to focus on the running game this week with Matt Forte and Chester Taylor.
All right, so Ralph is saying Drew Stanton over Jay Cutler. Ross, I got to get another opinion here. Cutler, Alex Smith, or Drew Stanton, who do you like this week?
look, you got to pay attention to the weather. If what the Rev says is true, I mean, 50-mile-an-hour winds, that sounds insane, but I don't see that being the case. I mean, I think there's going to be, you know, a little bit of wind and bad weather there, but, you know, Cutler's got the arm strength, and come on, man, this is Drew Stanton and Alex Smith we're talking about, and Cutler's played pretty well of late. I don't think he's going to light it up, but I don't necessarily trust Drew Stanton or Alex Smith, even though, you know, Stanton's going to have the opportunity playing from behind against Green Bay, and Smith's going against a pretty shady secondary in Seattle. I still don't bench Cutler unless it's extreme weather conditions for either of those three guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd hate to be the guy that benches Jake Cutler and you lose your matchup or your playoff game because you're starting Alex Smith or Drew Stanton. I don't know. I have a hard time doing it. I understand, you know, the weather, and I understand the weather is bad. I just don't know if I can do it. If I were to bench Cutler, I'd probably lean toward Alex Smith over Drew Stanton, just because this is probably the last chance that Alex Smith is ever going to have.
Rick, you can't fall in love with the big names. Just because they have big names doesn't mean you have to go with them each and every week. You have to use your logic here. You know, I can't see Cutler doing much of anything. I think they're going to want to run the ball this week in those weather conditions. And then when he does put it up, you don't know where that ball is going to go with that wind the way it's going to be howling today in Chicago.
I understand what you're saying, and maybe it's something that I would have to really look at again and look at hard and really absorb it all in. I mean, fantasy playoffs, to put Alex Smith or Drew Stanton out there, I think you're asking for trouble. Detroit is going to be trying to play catch up against Green Bay, so, you know, maybe Stanton is airing it out. San Francisco is playing Seattle, I believe, and I think Seattle's going to win that game. Hey, listen, this is a very tough call. You know, let me think about it. We'll come back to it later in the show, but it's something I got to think about. All right, Ross, how about this one? Malcolm Floyd, Hakeem Nicks, and Ben Abumanu. Nicks, we mentioned, is questionable. Abumanu, I'm not sure if he's playing. So who do you like out of this equation who needs one?
Yeah, I think you got to go with Malcolm Floyd. He's the guy that you know is going to play, and he's playing with a quarterback that's going to hit 300 yards, in my opinion. You know, it'd be a shame to have Nicks in your lineup, and you know the Giants are now playing Monday night, and then it comes out that, you know, he's not exactly healthy and can't go. And Abumanu gashed his hand up. He'll probably play, but the guy's got stitches in his hand. That's not exactly what I'm looking for out of a wide receiver. And, you know, I got no reason to hate on Malcolm Floyd. You know, had a few downturns, but to me, he's healthy, and Phillip Rivers is throwing him the ball. I would go with Floyd.
I agree. I like Malcolm Floyd just because he's safe, and he's the healthiest wide receiver of the bunch. Go Bronx. Hey, man, I appreciate the shout-out. I'm going to help you out here. I saw your question. I'm digesting it all in. I'll have an answer for you shortly, coming back to it. Defensive question, Ralph, San Diego or Denver, who do you like this week?
I think I'm going to go with Denver here. Look, everybody seems to think that because Skelton is back there, he's going to throw a bunch of interceptions, and that could be the case. But, you know, it could also be that, you know, Arizona plays extremely conservative with Skelton, and maybe they don't get all those interceptions that everybody thinks they're going to get. But still, I don't like Arizona's team. I don't like their offense. I don't like the way their playmakers are playing. So I'm still going to go with Denver here.
Okay, very good. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, taking all your questions in the chat room. PPR League, Ross, needs one of these wide receivers: Anthony Armstrong, Steve Smith from Carolina, Brandon Marshall, or Eddie Royal. Which one are you going to roll the dice with in week number 14?
I'll tell you, I like Anthony Armstrong this week. He's one of the guys that I think is flying under the radar as far as the end of the season goes. Look, to me, Steve Smith is just a victim of his circumstance. I think Donovan McNabb is going to have a surprising amount of time this week to sit back and throw the ball deep which is what he ultimately wants to do, and oddly where he's most accurate. You know, Aqib Talib is gone. I think the Redskins' passing game is going to get going a little bit against Tampa Bay today, and I think Armstrong shakes loose for a couple of deep passes today. I like his odds today.
All right. We talked about the cold weather in Chicago. Ralph, do you like Earl Bennett or Hakeem Nicks this week? J.D. Davis in the chat room wants to know.
Yeah, I like Hakeem Nicks. Look, I know that a lot of people are worried about whether he's going to play or not, and if he does play, is he going to be limited? Look, he's been practicing all week. The guys look good. And, you know, I don't think Coughlin would bring him all the way out to Minnesota if he didn't think that Nicks is ready to take on a major role in that offense. And let's face it, the Giants need him. So I think that Nicks is the better play here. He's got more potential to do great things, as opposed to Bennett, who's, you know, let's face it, more of a slot guy, a guy that makes tough catches over the middle, but not a big run-after-the-catch guy. I think Nicks is the much better run-after-the-catch guy, the better playmaker. I'm going to go with Nicks here.
Well, if what I'm reading in the chat room is true, and this is breaking news, Judy Bautista, I see a tweet from Jay Glazer, very reputable people. The roof in the Metrodome has collapsed. Wow. If that's the case, this whole game is now in jeopardy. I would say stay tuned to your ESPN News or NFL Network report and see what's going to happen now, because maybe they play at the University of Minnesota, which would then be outdoors. I don't know. But that we're getting reports now, and the people in the chat room are echoing them. The roof in the Metrodome has collapsed. The Giants and Vikings game now in jeopardy. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens with that. Wow, I really don't know what to say about that. I will tell you this. You tuned into the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show with Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mantini. We're going around the league of mystery and intrigue. And I do have your chat room questions here that we're going to be getting to in a moment. We're going to get another game in here. The Metrodome roof has collapsed. Wow. Okay, the Bengals, 2-10, travel into Pittsburgh, 9-3, Ross. I remember back early in the year, I think the Bengals gave them a little bit of a battle, and they are inventing new ways to lose. I think they lost 9 in a row, and I think the last 8 losses have been decided by fewer than 7 points. Do you see this along the same lines, or is this one just going to be a blowout?
No, I actually think that it's a good matchup for the Bengals, although I don't think they'll win. I think they'll find a way to blow it again. I sort of like Pittsburgh's defense at home against an absolutely erratic Carson Palmer. A lot of interception potential there. Pick 6 may be in the cards. I think it's a fantastic matchup for Rashard Mendenhall. Cincinnati's run defense 24th in the league. And, look, Chris Ivory went nuts on them last week. I think 2 touchdowns are what you can expect from Mendenhall in this one. Despite the injuries to the offensive line, I think those will eventually catch up with Mendenhall, but not here. I also like Mike Wallace busting loose for a deep one, finally, Rick, for you, against that injured Cincinnati secondary. I think, for me, the dud in this one's pretty clear. I think it's Cedric Benson. The Steelers weren't really playing around when they shut down Ray Rice last week. They know Benson is the key for Cincinnati. I think you can expect no more than 50 yards for Benson on the ground. And, I mean, look, here's a guy, Cedric Benson. He's averaging 3.5 yards per carry on the season. Not exactly going to scare the Pittsburgh run defense. You know, the sleeper in this one, I haven't said his name in a long time because he's been pretty much buried and non-productive, but that's Chad Ochocinco. Look, T.L. killed the Steelers the last time they played, 141 and a pair of touchdowns, so you know there's going to be extra attention paid to T.O., and I think with the deficit that Cincy is likely to be facing, I think Ocho is the one who's going to find room to roam around here. I could see him going for 75, 80 yards and a touchdown. I think Pittsburgh gets up early. The Bengals catch up, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Pittsburgh 26, Cincinnati 21.
All right, I agree. I think the Pittsburgh secondary is vulnerable. I think I don't think it'll be as high scoring, but I think the Bengals will be in the game. I am making note of all the questions coming in the chat room. We're coming right back to it. I want to get one more game in, and that would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ralph, 7-5. Badly need this win to remain in the playoff hunt. Traveling into Washington, 5-7, who, let's be honest, this team could go one of two ways with the whole Albert Haynesworth situation. Either Mike Shanahan has completely lost the locker room and this team is completely deflated, or it's addition by subtraction. They get rid of the bad apple and the team responds. Which one is it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much faith in this team. I think they're just going south, and they're in a downward spiral here. Look, in this game, you start Mr. Consistency, and that's Mike Williams. You start him as usual versus a decimated Washington secondary. He did practice on Friday. There were questions about his knee. He's set. He's healthy. He's ready to go. The other stud here is LeGarrette Blount. He's coming off a good showing versus a tough Falcons defense last week, in which he gained 103 yards on 20 carries. This week he faces a weak and less than physical defense, especially with Laron Landry out of the lineup. The Skins have given up the second most fantasy points to running backs over the past month. Tampa Bay's offensive line should be able to get enough of a push to allow Blount to build up a head of steam and gash Mike Shanahan's helpless unit. I mean, if you saw them play versus the Giants last week, they just totally looked hopeless and helpless out there. So LeGarrette Blount is going to be on his way to another very productive game here. The dud here, I think collectively, I wouldn't want any of Washington's running backs. It looks as though the coaching staff wants Ryan Terrain to regain his role as the lead runner, but this guy is always getting hurt. I mean, you can't even trust him to finish the game, let alone give you two or three good weeks. And beyond Terrain, you have guys like Kylan Williams and James Davis, but trying to figure out who Shanahan is going to give most of the carries to is just a fruitless endeavor. It's going to disappoint you in the end. And on top of that, Tampa Bay's defensive line is getting better. They've done a decent job of holding Michael Turner and Ray Rice to under 100 yards over the past 2 weeks. And then my sleeper is going to be a guy that Ross touched upon a few moments ago, and that's Anthony Armstrong. He was targeted 10 times versus the Giants, gaining 97 yards and 6 catches. You know, he's kind of a boom or bust type of guy, but he can't get open deep, and Washington will be throwing the ball a lot in this game. But I do like Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with the Bucs here, 24-17.
Yes, I agree. I think the Buccaneers will also pull this one out. And while we've been going through the game previews, I've been crunching the calculator over here, and I'm going to start off with GoGo Bronx, who gave us a big shout-out in the chat room. Appreciate it. And I've got your dilemma solved, and here's who I'm going to give you. You need two running backs, you need two wide receivers, and you need a flex. Here's what I got for you. Tolbert. Ride the Tolbert train to the championship. This is now his team. I don't care if Ryan Matthews is in the mix or not. Tolbert is the guy, and he's going to get tote the rock. He's going to get all kinds of good carries. The other running back I'm going to give you is Tashard Choice. You know, listen, I've been listening to these two gurus to the left and the right of me, and they've sold me on Tashard Choice. I think he's good for a touchdown. The other three guys, and usually I do not go wide receiver over running back in the flex, but this time I'm going to, and that's because I believe Mike Williams of Tampa Bay, Devon Best from Miami, and Malcolm Floyd from San Diego are all going to score touchdowns this week. I especially like Devon Best. With Brian Hartline placed on the IR, I think I don't know how the Jets are going to play it, whether they put Revis or Cromartie on Brandon Marshall, but I think Devon Best is going to shake loose now, get behind the defense, and score a touchdown and do the hula hoop. A lot of quarterback dilemmas in the chat room this week. I've got it solved nice and easy for you. Jay Cutler or Eli Manning? Look, we talked about the weather. If I have a chance to play Eli Manning, I'm not going to take my chances. That was Nicky the Bull. Shout out to Nicky the Bull. Mumphrey, shout out to him as well in the chat. Want to know, he's got Brady or Cutler. They're playing against each other in that brutal weather game. And I'm going to go with the smarter quarterback, and that would be Tom Brady. So I go Brady over Cutler. That's a no-brainer. The other one, Walkie, that's a tough one. Mike Vick or Phil Rivers this week? Tough. I'm going to give it to Rivers, and I'm going to hope that because San Diego needs this game so desperately, that Rivers is just flinging it around. I think if he's ever going to have a career week, believe it or not, even with the season he's having, it's going to be this week. So, and that leads me into Wisco's quarterback dilemma, Rivers or Eli. You know, Eli Manning seems to hit a rough patch each and every year. He's good for like a rough 3 or 4 game patch, and he's going through that right now. So I'm going to take Philip Rivers on that one. The next big dilemma question is coming in from the boys. That's the next one I'm going to be digesting in, and I'm going to be hitting you with my 5 guys that you need for that one. A couple quick hitters I do want to get in. Ross, Ben Watson or Zach Miller this week? Not really sure which Zach Miller it is. Not really sure that it matters.
No, it certainly doesn't. You know, I've got, you know, I've had Zach Miller on my team all year, and it's cost me. And, you know, I finally got wise a few weeks ago. This guy's just not ready to play. He's not in football shape. He can't run, and he can't catch. Ben Watson gets targeted 100 times a game. Watson, an easy choice here.
All right. Ralph needs 2 in a PPR league. Some very tough selections to choose from. Chris Ivory, Brandon Jacobs, Tashard Choice, James Starks, Mike Goodson, all very good plays, very good depth on this team. Say it again, needs 2 of these players, Ivory, Jacobs, Choice, Starks, and Goodson, PPR, who do you like?
Well, I would automatically take Jacobs and Goodson out of the equation here, so to me it comes down to Ivory, Choice, or Starks. And, you know, I mean, I think I'm gonna go with Ivory and Choice here. I know Starks is a big upside play, and I could totally understand if you go with Starks over these two guys, but I'm gonna play it safe here, and I'm gonna go with Ivory and Choice. If you're feeling lucky and you want to hit a home run, you go with Starks over Choice, but I'm gonna go with Ivory and Choice here.
Okay. Ross needs 1. Santana Moss, Earl Bennett, Donald Driver. Who do you like?
Santana Moss, Earl Bennett, Donald Driver. Wow. I think I'm actually going to go with Santana Moss, as odd as it sounds. I like the Redskins, and I like McNabb's ability to go deep in this game against the Aqib Talib-less Tampa Bay secondary. Look, the guy's put up numbers all year. I know he didn't against the Giants, but nobody did. I just like the way Santana Moss has produced this year against secondaries that he can get deep against, and I think this is one today that McNabb is going to be able to get deep against. So I'm gonna go with Santana Moss.
Okay, there you go. Coming back over to the chat room in a second. Let's get another quick hitting game in here as we move through the games. Got about an hour left in the show, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, just want to drop in a friendly reminder. Check out NFLDraftBible.com for all your NFL draft news and coverage. We're on fire over there. Underclassmen, staying or going, draft projections, scouting reports, all that good stuff. We will have exclusive coverage from a lot of the bowl games. As we mentioned, Ralph was at the Heisman last night. We spoke to Cam Newton, LaMichael James, Andrew Luck, and Kellen Moore. Look for those interviews to be posted on the website shortly. And that leads us into our next matchup, which does have, believe it or not, playoff implications. And that would be the Oakland Raiders, 6-6, traveling into the Jacksonville Jaguars, 7-5. And Ross, I know you're going to break down the stud duds and sleepers, but I do have an IDP play for those of you not paying attention at home. Rookie middle linebacker Rolando McClain has been in beast mode. I think he has 15 or 20 tackles the last 2 weeks. So if you're looking for a tackling machine, Rolando McClain coming on strong. Take it away, Ross.
Yeah, as we knew when we led to the draft preview when I wanted him on the Giants, but let's not get into that right now. This game is a run fantasy football owner's dreams, man. McFadden, Maurice Jones-Drew, even Michael Bush. Look, Jacksonville's given up 12 rushing touchdowns. I think McFadden bounced back nicely last week after 2 poor performances against Pittsburgh and Miami. He has a pretty good final 4-game schedule, and it starts here against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, but the stud, obviously, Maurice Jones-Drew. He had his fifth 100-plus yard effort last week. It's six straight games in double digits. There's no way it stops here against Oakland's 23rd-ranked run defense, the two running backs, the ones to have here. The dud, as I just mentioned a minute ago, Zach Miller. When healthy, he's a top-five guy. But, I mean, this guy can't. He looks like Antonio Gates when Gates isn't playing. Look, the plantar fascia leaves him barely able to run. It's killing fantasy football owners that he's active. I think the Raiders should have sat him for a few weeks. You must bench this guy until further notice. Go out and do what I did. Grab Ed Dixon, who's going to play Monday night against a terrible secondary. Or grab Tony Mwaki. You know, do something where you know you got a guy that's going to play. Zach Miller's going to go out there, run two plays, try to block, try to stand on that foot when he can't, and he's going to be a zero today. The sleeper here, look, he only had one catch, although it was a four-yard touchdown last week. But the Jacksonville pass defense could get beaten deep, and I think that's where Jacoby Ford is going to do his damage today. If Jason Campbell is given the time, and I think he will be. I think Ford gets deep for at least one 30-plus yard catch today. I know that's a specific prediction, but I'm going with it. And, guys, I like the Oakland Raiders on the road, traveling across the country. I know all those taboos, but I think Oakland wins this game 20-16.
All right, there you have it. The weather is a big topic in the chat room today, and it should be so. I usually don't pay much attention to the weather, but because we have crazy weather, because the roof has actually collapsed in Minnesota, and we have wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour, our good friend Taz in the chat room has provided us with a link, a very good link for weather around NFL stadium. So if you're into that stuff, check out the chat room. Thanks, Taz, a good friend. Shout out to him and the Fantasy Football Roundtable Twitter discussion. I highly advise after this show is over, go check out the archives from last night's show. It's still fresh and current news. Had a lot of good guests on there last night. I really enjoyed listening in on it. So check that out. The Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable with Taz. Also Talking Trash with Taz. If he's not bookmarked or favorite, you need to do that. He's not in 64 fantasy football leagues for nothing. All right, guys, back over to the chat room. We've got some questions. Ralph needs two. Deion Branch, Hakeem Nicks, and Johnny Knox, which two do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Branch and Nicks here. With Johnny Knox, he's more of the deep threat there. And I don't see anybody throwing the ball deep today in those 50-mile-per-hour winds. So I'm going to go with Branch and Nicks.
Nick the Bull in the chat wants to know, Ross, he needs one running back, one flex. Here who he has to choose from, Sean Green, Brandon Jacobs, James Starks, Felix Jones, and Malcolm Floyd. Say one more time, Green, Jacobs, Starks, Felix, and Floyd. Give me one running back, one flex, sir, please.
Well, I'm going to go with Starks as the running back here. And, look, I know it's a tough matchup against the Dolphins, but I'm not high in Felix Jones at all, so I'm going to roll the dice with Sean Green today. I'm not really in love with any of those matchups other than the Starks one, but, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Sean Green. I know Miami's tough against the run, but I'm rolling with him.
I also like Starks. I might consider Floyd over Green, but I can see your logic with Green there. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is starting to get phased out of his role there. Okay, IDP question coming in, Ralph. Terrell Thomas, which, you know, the game remains up in the air. I think they'll find a way to figure it out and play it this week. This is not like baseball where you can just make up a game later in the season. They will get something resolved. But Terrell Thomas of the Giants, corner, or Chad Greenway, the Minnesota linebacker. Actually, they're playing against each other, so who do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the linebacker over the cornerback here, and it all comes down to tackles. Chad Greenway is going to get more tackles. He's a guy who's very active. You could get from sideline to sideline. So in my opinion, I think he's going to get you more points, more weeks than not, than Mr. Thomas. And this week, I'm definitely going to go with Greenway.
Okay, we had a question come in earlier about Chris Cooley. Ross wants to know, you know, what we want to gauge the temperature on Cooley. What do you like? Do you like him this week? What's his chances? Would you start him or sit him?
Well, unless he's got one of the four guys that I have better. I have Cooley as my fifth tight end this week. Look, I think he's going to find the end zone this week, and McNabb is going to have to throw the ball an awful lot. And as I said, I like their passing game today. I like Moss, Armstrong, and Cooley. I think he's going to have plenty of opportunity. Look for six or seven catches, 70 yards and a touchdown out of Cooley. I think that's what you're going to get today.
Okay. Quarterback question coming in, Ralph. John Kitna or Matt Ryan this week?
You know, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to go with John Kitna here. I think he has more potential to put up better numbers in a game where he's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than Ryan does. I think Ryan plays it safe. I think Atlanta keeps it conservative because they won't have to score 30 points to beat their opponent Carolina this week, whereas Kitna is going to have to put the ball up in the air to keep up with the Philadelphia Eagles. And look, even if Philadelphia jumps out to the big lead, you know that there's going to be a lot of garbage time production out there for Kitna. He has been playing well lately. I know Des Bryant is not there, but he still has plenty of weapons to throw to. So I'm going to go with John Kitna.
All right, there you have it. We're coming down to the boys now. Who has two questions. One is very big, which I will do on the back end. Ross, let's help him out on the front end. Needs two of these guys in the PPR, LeGarrette Blount, Tashard Choice, James Starks, Sean Green, Ronnie Brown, Ryan Terrain. Needs two of those guys. I got a feeling you're going to tell me Starks and Green here, but go ahead.
No, I'm going to tell you Starks and Blount. I like LeGarrette Blount today against the Redskins. They give up 5 yards a carry, man. You can't ask for a better team to go against than LeGarrette Blount. And I like the James Starks opportunity he's going to get today more than Sean Green's potential. Even though, you know, look outside, man, it looks like the Jets are going to end up running the ball an awful lot, but I still will opt for James Starks.
Okay, and then the boys, your big question, you need five players. I've been digesting it all in, marinating on it, and here's what I got for you. You said you need two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex. I'm going to give you Arian Foster and Ray Rice as no-brainers for your two running backs. I'm going to give you Andre Johnson and DeSean Jackson slightly over Greg Jennings and Mike Williams. I think it's a tough call there. And then your flex, you could really flip a coin. You could go Sean Green. You could go LeGarrette Blount, as Ross just mentioned. Or you can go Jennings or Mike Williams. I think either one of those four guys, you're in good shape. I go Sean Green. But I do think that Mike Williams will also see the end zone. So I'm going to give you Foster, Ray Rice, Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson, and then flip a coin for that last one, buddy. Good luck with it. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Yancey. Breaking it down for the people now. Woo! Okay, it's 10 after 9. I got quite a few games to get in, so let's go over to the Green Bay Packers, 8-4, traveling into Detroit to take on the Lions, 2-10, Ralph. And we've been talking about him. James Starks, 18 carries for 73 yards last week. You taking the over or the under for this week?
Well, James Starks is definitely a sleeper this week, but my stud is going to be Greg Jennings. To me, he's the number one receiver of the week. The man has been on fire with three straight 100-yard games in his last 4 weeks. He has also scored six touchdowns in his last four games. Detroit doesn't play the pass very well, as we all know, and Thanksgiving Day turkey Alphonso Smith has been put on injured reserve. The other starting cornerback, Chris Houston, is far from being a shutdown corner. And really, I mean, Detroit has no steady presence at the safety positions as they shuffle people in and out. That means that Greg Jennings will see the ball and Aaron Rodgers will go to him deep in this game. Calvin Johnson is the other stud here. He scored in four consecutive games. He has proven that he can be productive with any quarterback. And the Packers might have a tremendous duo at cornerback with Charles Woodson and Tremont Williams, but Megatron did very well versus Green Bay earlier in the year with six receptions for 86 yards and two touchdowns. The dud here is Brandon Jackson. It looks as though James Starks has taken over the Green Bay backfield, or at least I think he's going to get most of the carries. The rookie earned 18 carries last week. Well, Brandon Jackson, to me, looks more like a third down back at this point. He is maybe going to catch a few passes here and there, but he is not a sustaining runner. James Starks is, and that's why he is the sleeper. At least he has the potential to be a much better sustaining runner than Brandon Jackson. As I said, with Jackson taking on an ancillary role and Dimitri Nance out, Starks will get a long look. Starks is better than Jackson in picking his holes and hitting the creases. The only thing that worries me here about Starks is the presence of John Kuhn as the goal line vulture. But Starks is going to be a fine play here this week. He's got a great matchup, and I think he will see a lot of carries, especially in the second half. As far as a final score is concerned here, I'm going to go with Green Bay 37, Detroit 20.
Okay, so the Rev has the Packers winning rather easily. Ralph, while you were chatting, a question came in from the chat room. Jamal Charles, James Starks, or Ben Jarvis Green, LSU moves one. Since you were just talking about Starks, who do you like from that equation?
Just pick one out of those guys. Well, look, I'm not going to mess around here, not during the playoffs. I'm going to go with Jamal Charles. I mean, he is clearly the most productive back out of all. And all three options are very viable this week, by the way. But I'm going to stick with Jamal Charles. He gives me the most upside, and he gives me the most production period. To me, he is the best play over here. I don't even think twice about this one. I'm going with Jamal Charles.
And he's coming off a fresh five-year extension. I'm sure they're going to trot him out there and earn that new five-year deal. Sticking to the chat room quickly here, the Crunch. Shout out to the Crunch, a newbie to the show, wants to know, Chris Ivory over Cedric Benson. Is this a no-brainer, or what do you say there, Ross?
I think it's a no-brainer. You can't go with Benson against the Steelers when you have Ivory against the Rams at home. I mean, the Steelers aren't playing games when it comes to run defense. And, you know, look, the Rams might be improved defensively, but they're not the Steelers.
All right. I'm just appreciate the update in the chat room from PC Keen, this ongoing situation with the Giants game. Could be moved to the new Meadowlands or University of Minnesota's TCF Bank Stadium, which they just did a major overhaul renovation to that stadium, so they could definitely be capable of holding that game. Of course, it would be outside, and I'm not sure if the NFL wants to go that route. While we're talking about it, we'll come back to the chat room. Let's talk about this game. Which is up next on our rundown. We don't know when it's going to be played, Ross, but the Giants at the Vikings, Giants 8-4 at Minnesota 5-7. And you down with JPP?
Yeah, you know me. Look, I don't know where they're going to play this game, but if they have to move it to the moon, they're playing it tomorrow. There's nowhere to move it to. They're not going to screw up the whole schedule. They're playing this game tomorrow, so don't worry about getting zeros for your guys. The two guys you need to pay attention to here, and I know they get an extra day to heal, and so does Brett Favre, but that's Hakeem Nicks and Steve Smith. The game's been pushed back a day. They're both with the team. Pay attention to what the injury reports say, but you're going to have to make your decision soon because you don't want to end up waiting for that Monday night game, and then they say they're not playing and you get a zero. I think Smith is a better bet to get more snaps than Nicks. I've heard rumblings that the Giants are going to treat this as a preseason game for Hakeem Nicks. To me, that means he's going to play maybe 15, 20 snaps. I don't want any part of that situation. If you have another option, I would go with it. Giants are ninth best as far as giving up points to fantasy football running backs, but that doesn't include Adrian Peterson, who's going to get his, just like LeSean McCoy, just like Maurice Jones-Drew did against the Giants. You can expect 120 total yards and at least a score out of him. Look, Ahmad Bradshaw's back in the featured role, even if he didn't start. Most notable to me were the six carries he got inside scoring range compared to Brandon Jacobs' one carry inside scoring range. To me, that's all you need to know. Ahmad Bradshaw, good to go. Vikings run D is coming on, but but Bradshaw's still good for 100 yards overall here. The dud here, and I feel bad for the guy, but look, man, there's no room for sympathy in this dojo. Percy Harvin. Migraines plus Giants pass rush, not a good combination. Favre's not going to have the time to throw the ball down the field. I think Adrian Peterson and Sidney Rice are going to be the offense against the Giants. And look, Rice is deservingly taking targets away anyway, so, you know, the Giants basically aren't going to give up a lot of yards to Harvin, and another dud they're not going to give up yards to is Vasanti Shenko, former New York Giant. Giants have only given up 2 touchdowns to opposing tight ends this season, and he's getting less looks than he has at any point during the season. To me, that means Shenko on the bench. The sleeper, the other tight end here, the boss man, Kevin Boss. Look, the Vikings didn't give up anything to opposing tight ends earlier in the season. No touchdowns in the first 7 games to tight ends. However, if you look since then, they've given up 3 in the last 5 games. And I think you can look for Eli Manning, who's going to be probably passing the ball more than people think this week, to find the boss man in the red zone for the touchdown and a giant victory, 27-23, wherever they play the game.
Wherever and whenever they play that game. But listen, all you fantasy football owners out there concerned that this game isn't going to get played, it will be.
Dude,
the NFL will find a way, whether it's played in Minnesota or the Giants, it will happen this week for sure. All right. Let's keep the freight train moving right into the 4 o'clock games, a game that I believe is a trap game. The Miami Dolphins, a feisty football team, 6-6, heading into the new Meadowlands here in our own very backyard, Ralph. And, you know, I got to say, there's a couple storylines here, but the biggest concern I have going into this game, watching the Jets defense last week against the Patriots get lit up, more notably, Eric Smith, you know, why is this guy in the league? He comes up to the line of scrimmage. No, I'm serious. He comes up to the line of scrimmage, and he basically sits there and stares at Tom Brady for no joke, 5 to 10 seconds, and just stares at him. While I think Tom Brady was just in shock that this guy is such a dumb idiot that he's even in the league. And Brady says, oh, okay, our strong safety sitting on the line of scrimmage staring at me. Okay, maybe boop, I'll go right over the top to Wes Welker. Goodbye. And, you know, when David Harris got hurt or came out of the game for a couple plays last week, it was none other than Eric Smith who was wearing the walkie helmet. And this is a big concern for the Jets moving forward. You know, they tried to pry the guy out of bagging groceries over there at the local A&P. That didn't work. I have to say, Eric Smith, that loss of Jim Leonard is a huge, huge concern, and I think it put a big dagger in those super expectations that the Jets have there, Ralphie.
I can't disagree. The loss of Jim Leonard is huge. And as far as Eric Smith goes, the reason why the guy is on the team is because he's an excellent special teams player. But, yeah, you can't put him back there in coverage. He's just not that type of player. And as far as studs, duds, and sleepers go for this game, I do like Sean Green a lot in this game. Green was one of the few bright spots on the Jets last Monday. He ran extremely hard. But the problem is he hasn't scored since week 5. However, he, as we've been saying for weeks now, Green is picking up steam while LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, is fading down the stretch. Injuries to Kendall Langford and Channing Crowder for the Dolphins will make the fish more vulnerable to the running game. Look for the Jets to take control of this game and exert their tempo with Green getting 16 to 20 touches and a score. Also a stud in this ball game is Santonio Holmes. The guy is versatile. He is dangerous. He's going to be hard to stop. The dud here is Brandon Marshall. He's coming off of a hamstring injury, and both Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie can both blanket him. Also, his quarterback, Chad Henne, is playing terribly. He's making bad throws and bad decisions. And on top of that, there is no Brian Hartline. He's out for the rest of the season. A bad matchup plus a bad quarterback equals a bad start for Marshall. Also, I don't like Mark Sanchez in this game. He's been looking confused. He's been inaccurate over the past couple of weeks. You can't trust him right now. The sleeper here is the tight end, Anthony Fasano, for the Miami Dolphins. Now, we all saw how vulnerable the middle of the New York Jets defense is up the middle with Jim Leonard out for the season. As I said before about Eric Smith, he's a great special teams guy, but he doesn't belong in anyone's starting defense. Look for Miami to take advantage of that. Fasano is coming off a strong performance with 4 receptions for 41 yards and a touchdown versus Cleveland last week. But I still do like the Jets here. The Jets are just flat out the better team. I'm going to go New York 22, Miami 10.
Okay, so the Reverend has the Jets winning more easily than I think.
He's buried that football, Rick.
let's bury Eric Smith, too, while we're at it.
I think he's already dead, man.
We buried the football. There's a couple other people and things he might have should have buried out there in the swamplands over there in Jersey. You know, it would have been good if we brought out Tony Soprano for the ceremony over there in the swamplands of Jersey. But we shall see, my friends. We shall see. And we're going to keep freight train moving, coming back to the chat room in a second. But, Ross, the NFC West is a division that nobody wants to win. And the Seahawks are kind of up there near the top, but they can maybe let San Francisco back in through the back door because the Seahawks are 6-6. San Francisco, 4-8. And they do get to play both the Seahawks and the Rams, both teams ahead of them. So they do have an outside chance, as we mentioned, Alex Smith back in the saddle.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a thriller, a playoff implicating game here. Look, Vernon Davis woke up last week. I didn't think he would, but he did. You can expect it to continue this week with Alex Smith back under center. I think he's played a little bit better with Alex Smith than he has with the other quarterbacks they've thrown out there. And look, I think Brian Westbrook is going to generate more than the 3 points he did last week. Smith's going to be looking for him on those countless dump-offs he's going to throw. But settle down with your expectations on Westbrook, you know. I mean, he's not going to go off every week. He's going to share time, and I think you need to temper your expectations there. He's a flex play at best, in my opinion. To me, the dud in this game, I don't care what he did last week. I'm still going with Marshawn Lynch. Don't fall for it, folks. I know he had a hat trick last week. But to me, it was a fluke. I didn't even think he looked that good running the ball. And the Niners are up with the Bears and Giants. Look, as far as fantasy football points are concerned, giving up to running backs, the Niners are up there with the Bears and Giants is what I meant to say there. I would avoid Lynch in favor of a guy like James Starks or Danny Woodhead this week. I'm just not high on Marshawn Lynch despite the 3 touchdowns last week. Now, for your sleeper in this game, I think you need to keep your eye on the Seattle wide receiver situation. You got a couple guys that are iffy. Mike Williams, probably a little less likely to play than my man and Rick's favorite, Ben Obomanu. Obomanu might play, but I just can't trust a guy with stitches in his hand. I think Deion Butler is a decent wide receiver 3 sleeper here. He led the team in targets last week. He could pull what Obomanu did a couple of weeks ago and go off for, you know, I'm not saying he's going to go off for $120, but he could definitely make some hay against the San Francisco defense here. This is a tough game to call. I think it's going to come down to the wire, but at the end of the day, you're looking at a San Francisco defense that I think is going to answer the call here and secure the game. San Francisco 20, Seattle 16, not high on the Seahawks on the road.
Oh, boy, like I said, a division that nobody wants to win, and that's literally going to come down to the last week of the season to see how that division unfolds. Press conference coming up at the top of the hour, 10 a.m. Central, which I think would be 11 a.m. Eastern time. Thanks to PC Keen, who's really been on top of this in the chat room. Vikings press conference coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern time in regards to the game. They may just very well wind up flying back to New Jersey to play this game, and what a journey it would be for the Giants, who got stuck in Kansas City last night, spent the night in Kansas City waiting, and now they might have to fly back to Jersey to whoop the Vikings. But I've been keeping tabs on all your questions in the chat room, and I got a little something for you. He needs 2, Miles Austin, Mike Williams, Hakeem Nicks, and Santonio Holmes. You know, I'm going to give you Mike Williams in Tampa Bay. He's going to find the end zone. And I got to believe Santonio Holmes is coming down the stretch here and is also going to find pay dirt. Listen, I like Hakeem Nicks, but he's banged up. I also like Miles Austin, the Jersey product. But you know what? It's just so hit or miss with that Dallas team each and every week. I just don't know if I can trust Miles Austin. I know Mike Williams is going to score, and I love me some Santonio Holmes down the stretch run. Eli Manning or Alex Smith, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to put my fantasy hopes, my playoff hopes on Alex Smith. Maybe you want to, but you know what? I won a championship with Eli last year, and I know he's going through a rough stretch, but I'll take him over Alex Smith any given week, any given Sunday. Non-PPR, Stevie Johnson, Lance Moore, Santana Moss, or Michael Crabtree. I'm not sure why this would even be a question. Stevie Johnson, I mean, are you not a believer? Seriously. Hakeem Nicks or Mike Williams? You know, again, I think Nicks might have the more upside, but because he's coming off of an injury, I'm always hesitant with that formula. So I'm going to go with the guaranteed thing. Mike Williams, 5 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown. And sticking to the Mike Williams theme, this man truly is the Rodney Dangerfield of fantasy football. He gets no respect. Mike Williams or Deion Branch, again, I'm going to tell you Mike Williams, man. I don't understand what this guy needs to do for you guys to give him the respect that he deserves, but Mike Williams over Deion Branch. The question about the team defense, Denver or Philadelphia. Listen, I think Philadelphia is going to blow out the Cowboys. I think that game is going to be over in the first 10 minutes, but Dallas is capable of putting some points on the board, whereas the Arizona Cardinals are just pathetic. That's why this week I'm going to take the Denver Broncos. Non-PPR, possibly the toughest question I've seen in this batch, Ahmad Bradshaw or Freddie Jackson. I think this is extremely close, but gun to my head, I'm going to go Ahmad Bradshaw just because wherever or whenever this game is played, whether it be in Minnesota or New York, the weather is going to be frigid, and it's going to be Ahmad Bradshaw's type of party. This guy is a physical brand, a football runner. I think the Giants, you know, I know the Jets believe in the ground and pound, but I think the Giants are going to ground and pound this week. That's why I like Ahmad Bradshaw over Freddie Jackson. Ryan Fitzpatrick or John Kitna? Look, I think Buffalo is capable of winning this game, as Rostradamus mentioned earlier in his game preview. And, you know, again, that Dallas is just, it's a hit or miss. I don't think there's any in-between with Dallas this week. Either they're in it, it's a competitive high-scoring game, or Philly just blows them out, gets ahead early, and Dallas lays down flat. I think either way, Buffalo is going to be in the game with Cleveland, whether they win or not. That's why I am going to take Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wow.
Bully up on Joe Hayden. Go ahead. You want to chime in there?
No, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't go with Fitzpatrick over Kitna. I mean, look at how these guys have been playing the past couple of weeks. I think Kitna's been playing a lot better. You know, he's been composed.
Yeah, well,
he hasn't been making a lot of mistakes. He's spreading the ball around.
Wait a second. Dez Bryant was his go-to guy. He's out of the mix now.
No, but
and,
that's the thing about Kitna. He spreads the ball around. He doesn't target one guy. He doesn't focus on one guy. So I don't think that, you know, Dez Bryant not being there, I don't think it's going
to
be a major problem.
Guys,
they have other weapons on that team.
To me, you guys are arguing about the same thing here. I think both these guys are going to throw 250, two touchdowns, and one interception. I think you're splitting hairs.
All right.
I just think Kitna's got a little bit more upside. That's all.
Well, this game's
likely to
be higher scoring. I'll give you that.
Yes.
I tend to disagree. I think Fitzpatrick's good for 300 yards this week.
All right. Oh, I'm writing that one down.
Hey, I'm the man who brought you Ryan Fitzpatrick before he was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's this year's JTO, baby.
All right, keeping it moving here, a couple more questions to get in. Dwayne Bowe or Vernon Davis? I mean, come on, really? Dwayne Bowe. I understand Brody Coyle's throwing him the ball, but, hey, listen, Alex Smith is throwing the ball to Vernon Davis. That's not much better. Although they did have some chemistry last year, so I can understand the question. Okay, I could see it. I could understand. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you if you do go Vernon Davis, but for my money, I'll take the wide out. It's a very close, tough question. Dwayne Bowe or David Garrard, however, I think is not. And anytime I can start a quarterback over a wide receiver, I'm definitely going to do that. So I'll go with David Garrard over Dwayne Bowe. Matt Hasselbeck or Alex Smith. Listen, this time of the season, you got to go with the headsy veteran quarterback, and I'm not the biggest fan of the bald bomber, But I can tell you this, he will deliver before Alex Smith delivers for you. So don't hold your breath if you bet on Alex Smith. And then we got one more here. Freddie Jackson, this is a non-PPR, very tough question. Freddie Jackson, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Ivory, and Danny Woodhead. I'll open this one up to the floor. As much as I want to say Danny Woodhead here, I'd have to give the edge to LeGarrette Blount. But I do think you can state a case. You can state a case for Ivory and Freddie Jackson. So let me open the floor on this one.
I think Blount has the best matchup here. I liked what I saw out of him last week against a tough defense going up against the Falcons. I think this week he runs all over the Washington Redskins. I mean, you saw Brandon Jacobs turn the clock back last week, just go crazy against that Washington, that porous Washington defense that just couldn't tackle if their lives depended on it. And really, I think Blount is going to have a bang-out game this week.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rev. I think you can flip a coin between him and Freddie Jackson here. You know, Jackson's going to be raring to go after the tough sledding last week, and I think Cleveland's improved defensively, but they're certainly not going to present as big of a hurdle as he had last week. But I agree with you. I love Blount's matchup today. The Redskins are soft. I think they're ready to collapse.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it moving here. We're on the 4 o'clock matchups, and Ralph may have gave it away earlier in the show, but the Rams 6-6 traveling to the Saints 9-3. We talked about the return of PT Cruiser, Reggie Bush also in the mix. I do want to point out this. The St. Louis team is hungry. Steve Spagnuolo has them playing some very good football. And I will say that the playoffs have begun this week. The Rams are coming off 2 wins. They face New Orleans this week. They face another potential playoff team in Kansas City next week. And then the final 2 weeks of the season, they can seal their fate with games against San Francisco and Seattle on the last game of the season, which could ultimately dictate this NFC West that nobody wants to win. And Ralph, while you might not be buying my Ram tough mentality, by the way, since we're speaking about the Rams, I just want to say I did catch some of that Marcus Dupree documentary on ESPN. Listen, it was pretty good, but 3 hours, it put me to sleep on it. Very good story of Marcus Dupree, though, if you want to get educated on him. Didn't mean to sidetrack too much, but the Rams 6-6 traveling to the Saints 9-3. Take it away, good Reverend.
Yeah, well, the stud here is Christopher Ivory. He was my pick last week, and I'm going to keep on sticking with him this week. He scored 5 times in the past 3 weeks. He's a bruiser with some burst, as evidenced by his 55-yard touchdown scamper last week. I know the Rams have allowed only 5 scores on the ground this season, but the Saints have an offense that won't allow St. Louis to zero in on Ivory or any other running back for that matter. And the rookie has been just like an animal around the goal line, hard to stop. I don't expect Pierre Thomas to get much action early on, in his comeback, since he's going to be a little rusty, and I would look for the Saints to use him more as a screen back and look for Sean Payton to utilize, And the dud here is Sam Bradford. I'm not crazy about him this week. He was off the mark on his throws versus Arizona's pass defense, their bad pass defense last week. He was under 200 yards with no touchdowns. New Orleans Saints secondary hasn't been airtight of late, but it's still a quality group that has given up a league low 8 touchdowns. So Sam Bradford, I'm not crazy about him. You know, Rick said that the Rams are going to show a lot of fire. Where was the fire last week? Where was Sam Bradford last week against the deplorable Arizona defense?
Well, you mean
he
when
didn't
they
show
won?
Me much. He didn't show
well,
me much
mean,
last
you
week.
Mean, you mean when they won, Ralph?
They did win, but I didn't like Sam Bradford's performance. I think he's going to have to do a lot better if he hopes to beat New Orleans this week.
Well, how
That's
about the
I'm
week
saying.
Before when he put up 36?
I'm not talking about the week before. I'm talking about last week. This is week to week. It's fantasy football, man. Come on.
Okay, well, let's talk about this week. He's going to light up the Saints. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, we'll see. Look, the sleeper here is Robert Meacham. If you're looking for consistency, go elsewhere. But if you're in search of big plays, Meacham is your guy. Last week, he needed only 3 targets to gain 106 yards. The former volunteer has shown that he can get red hot for weeks at a time. And today he goes up versus a banged-up secondary with Ron Bartel and O.J. Otagwe, both battling injuries. I love New Orleans in this game. I'm going to go Saints 35, St. Louis 23.
All right. Ross, do you care to weigh in on a prediction for this one?
Yeah, I think the Saints win the game, but I don't think it's going to be a runaway. I'm looking at, like, you know, the Saints will probably be up by three late in the game, and they'll add on a touchdown to win 34-24, something like that.
All right, let's go over to the chat room where Wisco needs two wide receivers. It's a PPR league. He's got Larry Fitzgerald, Anthony Armstrong, Mike Thomas, and Vincent Jackson, Ross. The question is Nnamdi Asamoah matching up against Mike Thomas in that Jacksonville game? I don't know what the status is of Mike Sims-Walker, but if that is the case, I really don't like Mike Thomas there. Fitzgerald, Armstrong, Thomas, and V-Jax, give me two, Ross.
Oh, man. I mean, you can't like Larry Fitzgerald's situation there, but I think you have to go with him. And, you know, hopefully the Chargers are screwing around with Vincent Jackson. They shouldn't have brought him back as early as they did. And did you say Armstrong's in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer Armstrong to Vincent Jackson this week. I just don't trust Vincent Jackson.
Ralph, you want to weigh in there? Fitzgerald, Armstrong, Mike Thomas, and Vincent Jackson need two?
You know something? I can't go with Fitzgerald as much as I want to go with him, just because I think they're going to play it very close to the vest with John Skelton this week. It's his first start. He's a small school kid. Here's a quarterback that they didn't even want to play at all this year. This is supposed to be his redshirt year. So I can't really go with Fitzgerald this week. I'm going to have to go with Armstrong, who's a boom or bust guy, but he can go off and make a big play at any point. And he has been playing well lately. Mike Thomas, to me, is a low upside guy. I think, you know, you're looking at maybe four receptions for 40 yards, and if you're looking to win your playoff game, he's not going to get it done, in my opinion. So I'm going to take a chance and go with Vincent Jackson. He gives me the most upside, so give me Armstrong and Vincent Jackson.
All right, there you have it. You know, listen, I see KJ in the chat room talking about possibly pulling his players in case this game does not get played. I can assure you the NFL will find a way to play this. But you'll know that in about an hour and a half with the press conference. You'll know what the plans are. So you don't need to panic. You'll find out what the solution is going to be for the NFL. They will find a way to get this game played. And I have to believe that all fantasy football leagues would factor in the stats for week number 14, regardless of when the game is played. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. But let's stay over in the chat room where Ace28 wants to know. It's a 75-25 non-PPR league, needs three of these wide receivers. Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, Malcolm Floyd, and Fred Jackson. Okay, I guess there is a running back involved here. So Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, Malcolm Floyd, all three very good wide receiver plays. Ralph, I guess the question becomes, do you sit any of those wideouts for Freddie Jackson?
That's Andre Johnson, Fred Jackson. Who were the other players?
Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, and Malcolm Floyd. By the way, I got to say, Mike Wallace is going to have a big, big day today, in my opinion. But Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, Malcolm Floyd, I love all three plays. Does he bench one of those guys for Freddie Jackson?
That's a tough one. Boy. You know, I would... you know, I'm the type of guy, I always go with the running back over the receiver, but I think in this case, I think I like all three receivers over Freddie Jackson. I think that game out in Buffalo is going to be low scoring. I don't think there are going to be a lot of huge fantasy plays there in that contest. I'm going to go with Andre Johnson, Mike Wallace, and Floyd here. I think these are all big play receivers, guys that score touchdowns, guys that make plays. I'm going to go with the receivers.
Yeah, I agree, 1,000%. Dazed and Confused in the chat room, Ross wants to know, non-PPR, Chris Ivory or LeGarrette Blount? We may have discussed this, but these are two guys that are evenly matched for Week 14. Do you go with Ivory or Blount?
Yeah, I like LeGarrette Blount just a little bit better. I like the matchup a little bit better, actually. Yeah, I mean, you got to like him going against a team that gives up 5 yards a carry, and you know that he's going to be predominantly the focus of the offense, whereas Ivory, you know, Saints may run the game, run the ball in the second half an awful lot, but I think Breeze is going to carry him at least halfway through that game. So I'm going to go with Blunt.
Just do it. Jeremy, do it. New to the chat. Shout out to Jeremy. Wants to know, start three, Dwayne Bowe, Larry Fitzgerald, Deion Branch, Lance Moore. I'm going to tell you, Jeremy, put Lance Moore on your bench. Listen to the Tasmanian Devil in the chat room. He knows what he's talking about. Another wide receiver dilemma needs two. Ralph, Hines Ward, Brandon Marshall, Santana Moss, and Deion Branch. Which two do you like?
Wow, some tough choices here. You know, I think as much as I really don't like the guy, I'm going to have to go with Santana Moss. I really don't want any receivers from that Chicago-New England game. I don't know how that game is going to fare. I think there's going to be a lot of running in that game. Marshall, I don't like his chances against Revis and Cromartie. I think I'm going to go with Ward here. You know, Ward's been very unreliable this year. I haven't liked the way he's played. He's been dropping some passes, but you know something? I think I'm going to go with Ward. He's a safe play, and I'm going to go with Santana Moss. Go with the two veterans here.
Okay. The San Diego-Kansas City game is coming up. We haven't previewed it yet. But, yeah, Matt Castle is out, in case you didn't know. Brody Quirrell is in. The defensive question, Denver, Oakland, for my money. I'm going to take Denver this week. I think the Cardinals just are garbanzo, and that's the bottom line, where the Jaguars could put up some points, I believe. Let's get into that Denver Broncos at Cardinals game, because Josh misfires. The Broncos 3-9. Josh McDaniels is out of there. They travel into Arizona 3-9. I don't need to steal your thunder here, Ross, but I got to say I love me some Eric Decker this week, the Broncos wide receiver. James Starks and Eric Decker are my two big deep sleepers of the week. And I got to say, with the new coach in town, I mean, is it going to be Tebow time soon here in Denver?
Well, I mean, McDaniels is a pretty big Tebow backer, and it wasn't Tebow time quite yet, so I'd hold off on your Bronco Tebow jerseys for just a little while. Look, I know he was 9 for 28 last week, which really, if you think about it, is insane. It's less than 33% accuracy, but I'm going to go new coach, new attitude, Kyle Orton gets back to normal this week. I like him to rebound this week against the Arizona Cardinals, who basically mailed it in with extra stamps last time they played. Look, Sean Marino looked awesome for the final three quarters last week, and no one allows more points to opposing fantasy football running backs than the Arizona Cardinals. 15 rushing touchdowns allowed. You can expect Marino to easily eclipse 100 yards. I mean, after all, the former running back coach is now the head coach in Denver, so you know he's going to ride his boy. I think Lloyd is going to have his 90 yards and a touchdown as well for the Broncos. I like the Denver offense here. The three musketeers there, Lloyd, Marino, and Orton, all get it done today. The dud, and I know Ralph's going to wish he could get in on this, and maybe I'll let him here, and that's Beanie Wells. Look, three carries last week against the Rams, blown blocking assignments all over the place. At this point, I'd rather have Tim Hightower, and anyone who's listened to this knows that I'm not high on Hightower. I'd go so far as to cut Beanie Wells. He is that unreliable. If you need to grab someone that you're going to speculate has a decent schedule, like a James Starks or someone like that, or even a fringe wide receiver, I would do it. Beanie Wells is not doing anything the rest of the season. Get him out of there. The sleeper in this game, I like the Eric Decker call, but I'm going to go, maybe not so much of a sleeper anymore. It's been awakened, and that's the Denver defense. I know they've had a lot of terrible games, but look, they're going against John Don't Call Me Red Skelton. If you have Minnesota or you have Miami, you should use the Denver Broncos instead. Go pick them up. You know they're waiting there on the waiting wire, way at the bottom. There they are. Look, the bottom line is this is fantasy football playoff time. You can go with a matchup like this for a week. Go in there, pick up a couple defenses, grab the Broncos, grab the Niners. They have a good matchup in the weeks to come. We'll talk about that a little later if we have time. I know, Rick, but I like the Broncos in this one. I don't think they give up a touchdown in this game. I like Denver 24, Arizona 6.
All right. So I'm along those lines as well, Ross. Kansas City at San Diego. The Chiefs are 8-4. The Chargers are 6-6. But check this out. If you look at the Chargers' schedule, they have Kansas City this week, which would be an ultimate momentum changer. And then they finish out with San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Denver. I mean, I expect them to win all three of those games. There's a possibility the Chargers could go 10-6, and the Chiefs could be on the outside looking in. Now, you know, bad luck, bad timing for the Chiefs this week. Matt Castle out, Brody Croyle in, and also a lineup shake. Verron Tucker, now elevated to the number two wide receiver over Chris Chambers, and Dexter McCluster sliding into the slot. Take it away, Ralph.
Yeah, look, first I have to say, don't worry about Phillip Rivers. You know, a lot of people are getting freaked out. He had a subpar game last week. All of these top quarterbacks, and this is something that Ron Jaworski brought up a few days ago, all these great quarterbacks, doesn't matter how good you are, you always have those one or two games where you're just like, you know, just totally off your game. You have your bad games. I think that's what Rivers went through last week. I think he bounces back this week. I don't think the Chiefs have much of a pass rush, and Vincent Jackson is back. The stud in this game that I really like is Malcolm Floyd. He made a triumphant comeback from his hamstring injury last week as he posted 72 yards on 5 catches. And even with decent coverage, Floyd can still make plays using his size and leaping prowess. Plus, Kansas City has been porous versus the pass over the past month, surrendering the fifth most fantasy points versus wide receivers. The dud here, it's going to be tough to go against this guy, but I'll say Dwayne Bowe is probably going to disappoint you this week if you're starting him. I'm not saying that it's impossible for Bowe to produce without Castle under center, but you can't expect Brody Croyle to replicate the same chemistry that Bowe and Castle had. I know Bowe has put up decent stats with Broyle previously, but that's ancient history. Croyle hasn't played all year, and also San Diego limited Bowe to one catch for 5 yards in week one. On top of that, the Chargers have given up the fifth fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers over the past month. The sleeper here, I mentioned him before, and that's Vincent Jackson. He's a boomer bust pick this week, but he's looked good in practice. San Diego needs another playmaker to step to the fore with injuries to Antonio Gates, Lega Dunane, and Patrick Creighton. I do like San Diego to bounce back. I look for San Diego to win this one 29-19.
All right, and that, as we mentioned, would open the door, clear path. Chargers, once again, could be making that December swoon up the NFC West. The AFC West. Ralph, since you were tooting John Kitna before, I'm going to let you get at this one. Tom Brady or John Kitna this week?
It's hard to go against Brady, but I don't know what to expect from that game. With the snow, the winds. You know something, I'm going to go with Kitna just because I think that he has potential to do more in that game. You know, he's not going to be affected in any way by the weather down in Texas. And I kind of like him. I think I could see Philadelphia jumping out to a lead and him playing catch-up and throwing the ball around. And I see him throwing for about 275 yards, two or three touchdowns in that game. Whereas, you know, that game between Chicago and New England is going to be low scoring. It's going to be a field position games, and I think there are going to be some turnovers as well in that matchup. So I'm going to stick with Kitna just for this week.
And I agree with you. I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is becoming a very attractive play in New England this week. I think they're going to give him 20 to 25 carries. And I think Woodhead could be a weapon underneath in the snow. So I'm going to co-sign John Kitna over Tom Brady. Ross, Kevin Boss or Aaron Hernandez at tight end this week?
If New England were playing in decent weather, I'd probably go with Hernandez, but they're not. And I think as Taz and I have been discussing in the chat room there, I think it's a Rob Gronkowski kind of a day today. So I'm going with Kevin Boss. I like his chances. You know, I don't know what state they'll be playing in, but I'm going to go with the Boss man.
All right, and then another dilemma here. The Joker, welcome to the chat. Good to see you, buddy. Ralph, we've got Johnny Knox. Looks like he's going to have to bench him this week. He can go with Justin Forsett or Nate Burleson. I'm going to advise him to pick up Eric Decker off the waiver wire and play him. But if it's Forsett or Burleson, who do you like?
Look, in this case, then you have to go with Nate Burleson. Look, I love Justin Forsett. I think he's obviously far and away the more talented back than Marshawn Lynch. But for some reason, the Seattle Seahawks seem to think that Lynch should be the guy that earns more carries. I don't know why, but, hey, with the situation the way it is, you're going to have to go with Burleson. The Lions are going to have to throw the ball a lot this week as the Packers are going to jump out to the big lead. And they're playing in they're playing at home. They're playing indoors. So there is going to be really adverse weather effects that they're going to have to be dealing with. So I go with Burleson here over Forsett.
All right. Tight end dilemma, Ross, quickly. Ed Dixon, you know, he's looking for that Butterfinger endorsement after what I saw last week on the Ravens. Dixon or Vasanti Shenka this week?
Yeah, even a candy bar could go off against that Houston defense. So I'm going to go with Ed Dixon. I'm down on Shenko. I just don't think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. And, look, you know, I think Flacco's going to be able to pass at will. I think Dixon's going to have a pretty decent game Monday night.
Ralph, some new people joining the chat room maybe did not catch our conversation from earlier in the show. Quickly, Hakeem Nicks or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, who do you like?
Yeah, you go with Mike Williams here. He's Mr. Consistency. You know what you're going to get out of him. You know, five catches, six catches, 90 to 95 yards and a touchdown. Hakeem Nicks is coming back from an injury. I mean, I think he is going to play, but, I mean, you don't know how big of a role he's going to play. You don't know if he's going to take plays off. You don't know how he's going to be used. So go with what you know, and you know that Mike Williams is going to be productive this week.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes left to get three games in, and if we have time, I'd love to get some of our sleepers in for the stretch run of your fantasy football playoffs. I know you guys have a list. We'll try to get it all in. Let's preview the game of the week. Here it is, New England Patriots, 10-2, traveling into Chicago, 9-3. And I just very quickly have to give some love to my man, Kyle Arrington, undrafted free agent from Hofstra. Not only is he starting at cornerback, and Ralph, we've been talking about this off the air, doing a great job starting at corner for the New England Patriots, but he's also rushing the passer. Yes, Bill Belichick is using the short cornerback as an outside linebacker in pass rushing situations, so if you're looking for an IDP sleeper, Kyle Arrington might be your play. Ross, I know you have that game preview. Take it away.
Yeah, you know, I would normally say that Tom Brady's too hot to avoid here and rank as anything but a top three guy, but, man, I just saw a picture of the field in Chicago, and that wind looks nasty. It's got to be 30 miles an hour, so I think you got to check and see what the weather is before even using Brady. I know he's going to throw a lot of checkdowns, but I don't know, man. If you have Eli Manning on your team, you might want to reconsider starting Tom Brady. That weather looks brutal. But hard to go against the man after what he did to the Reverend Jets a week ago. Look, the Bears are going to prohibit him from going deep. They're able to get a pass rush on him with four guys, which is really the key to playing against the Patriots, as the Jets found out. I think if the Bears are able to give Jay Cutler time, he could have just as good of a game as Brady. But with this weather, I would avoid both of them altogether. Focus on Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Matt Forte, both guys who are getting it done fantasy-wise this year and pleasantly surprising their owners, I believe. Look, the dud in this one, even before this wind, I didn't like the matchup for Johnny Knox. You know, deep passes are not going to be the Bears' game plan, especially now with this weather. It's going to be a bad track. It's not going to help Knox. And I know Knox and Bennett have alternated as far as fantasy production goes on a weekly basis, but I think Bennett bucks that trend, and he's the guy to have here. I don't see Knox as anything more than a number three guy, if that, considering the weather. Look, I think the sleeper here, I know Wes Welker gets the publicity, and he deserves it, and then some. But I think Deion Branch, you know, he has three TDs in his last two games, and he's going to profit by the attention paid to Wes Welker today to score again this week. I can't imagine a lot of points being scored in this game, gentlemen. I'm going to go with New England 17, Chicago 14 in a very enjoyable game to watch, if not to participate in.
Yeah, very fun game. I'm going to enjoy watching it, and let's keep it moving here. 5 minute warning. Eagles 8-4 traveling to Dallas 4-8. Ralph.
Yeah, I like John Kitna in this game. Look, I touched upon him before, and as far as this matchup is concerned, the Eagles have allowed quarterbacks to throw for 10 touchdowns over the past four games. Asante Samuel is out of this game, and that really hurts Philly's defense. So look for John Kitna to post some good numbers. The dud here is Jason Avant. The usually shorthanded Avant has dropped some easy passes lately. He's generally a quality receiver, but he can't be trusted right now. Vic shied away from him last week and is starting to use his tight end, Brent Celek, a little bit more. The sleeper here, I have two of them. Number one, Roy Williams. The absence of Asante Samuel opens things up for Dallas' entire passing game. And let's not forget, before Dez Bryant's emergence, Roy Williams did score 5 touchdowns in a 4-week span and also gained 232 yards earlier in the year. I also like the short choice. I mean, he is Dallas' goal line back in what should be a high-scoring game. He has a little bit of a different dimension to that offense than the other running backs do, and I'm going to go with him, and I think there's a good chance that he scores once again this week. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I do like Philly to edge the Dallas Cowboys by a score of 33-31.
All right, there you have it. I do see your questions coming in the chat. I'm going to get to them. One more game. Bring it on home, Ross. The Ravens 8-4 traveling into the Texans 5-7. Something tells me I feel like we've seen Houston on national TV one too many times.
Yeah, that's true, although they're always point scored, and that's because they're terrible defensively. And, you know, because of that, you got to go with Jersey Joe. Joe Flacco is going to go off in this game, and so is Anquan Boldin. Look, Houston may have played well against Tennessee, but Joe Flacco ain't no Rusty Smith, if you know what I'm talking about. I think Ray Rice and Arian Foster are every bit number one running backs this week. Don't be scared off by Rice's gag game against Pittsburgh last week or the fact that Foster is facing the Baltimore Ravens defense. They're not that intimidating as far as that goes. Look, Shaw's been digging and dunking a lot lately, so even if Foster doesn't get it done running the ball, he will get it done as a receiver. Look, Andre Johnson obviously you have in there. I don't like him all that much today. I mean, he's obviously still a top 10 guy, but I think Shaw's going to not be able to throw the ball deep because of the pass rush. To me, that might make Golden almost as good of a play as Johnson, if not equal. The dud here, I don't like Matt Shaw in this game. He's been getting pummeled of late, and it's only going to get worse. I think he'll throw for, you know, fewer than 220 yards, maybe a touchdown and an interception. You can do better with Kitna or Freeman or someone of that ilk. The sleeper here, we've been talking about it in the chat room, and that's Ed Dixon. Todd Heap is out. It's shocking he lasted this long, to be honest with you. And I think Dixon, now that he knows he's the man, he's going to be able to feast on the worst tight end defense in fantasy football, which is the Houston Texans. I like the Ravens in this one. High scoring, 28-24 Baltimore. Backdoor cover for the Texans.
All right, quickly, some last-second questions. I like Gronkowski over Watson and Kevin Boss. That's his kind of weather. I like Hightower over Beanie Wells and Justin Forsett. By far the best option. I do not like Ed Dixon. However, I do like him better than Kevin Boss and Aaron Hernandez. I do like Hakeem Nicks, Storm 777. I like Nicks' most upside over Manningham and James Jones. Tampa Bay or Kansas City defense. I like Tampa Bay to win that game. I like Kansas City to lose that game. So there's my answer there. And then Bleed Green 6, the two guys I'm going to give you, James Starks and Danny Woodhead. I love me some little big man and Danny Woodhead. I like James Starks to go off this week. Guys, you have 1 minute each. I know you guys had some sleepers for the stretch run of your playoffs. Quickly, we started off with Ross. Just give me the names, baby, just the names.
All right, James Starks, even though he's not a sleeper. Earl Bennett, Roy Williams, Sei Ajiratutu, watch out for him. Anthony Dixon, Westbrook ain't going to last that long. Pick up Anthony Dixon. Anthony Armstrong, love that in the deep passing game for the Washington Redskins. And Ed Dixon, as we've discussed here, if Todd Heap remains injured, and I believe he will, I think he's going to be a decent tight end play down the playoff stretch. Bam.
Nicely done. Reverend, go ahead.
Okay, Kerry Collins, Jacoby Ford, Dexter McCluster, coaches would like to get him more involved as a receiver and a running back. Drew Stanton, some nice matchups coming up. Tampa Bay, Miami, Minnesota, all in good weather. Austin Colley, a PPR stud before getting injured. Justin Forsett, and a deep sleeper, Dominic Rhodes, and finally, Jimmy Graham, the tight end from the New Orleans Saints.
Ooh, I like that Dominic Rhodes.
Yeah, nice. Pickup from the UFL. Okay, guys, Rick Servitella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. We're off the air in about 30 seconds. We're going to stay in the chat room and answer your questions. Definitely appreciate all the support. Love to all the chat room people. If you have a question that you want us to answer immediately, media@NFLDraftBible.com. media@NFLDraftBible.com. Your question will go out to the three of us. One of us or maybe all three of us will answer your questions if you have a question. I'm going to stay in the chat room and finish up and answer here for the rest of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show. Simply wait.
A couple of tackles.